This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Attention, vegans, you may want to switch off your radios for our next story. It's part of the NPR series, You Do What? About people with unusual jobs. NPR's Netta Ulibi visited the Smithsonian Institution here in Washington and spoke with a man who has spent his career working with dead animals.
I'm Paul Reimer, and I'm a taxidermist at the National Museum of Natural History.
Every natural history museum worth its stuffing used to have a whole crew of taxidermists working behind the scenes. And a lot of the animals now displayed in the Hall of Mammals date from decades ago.
There's a panda there. That mount is 80 or 100 years old.
These days, Reimer says, museum taxidermists do less mounting and more maintaining, especially with endangered specimens like this aged panda.
The black hair had faded. The white hair had yellowed from dust and dirt back in the day when you could smoke in the museum. So we literally, you know, took Clairol bleach and bleached the white hair.
He restored the black hair with hair dye and fixed up everything else.
The rhino that's just below it was an animal that was collected by Theodore Roosevelt right after he left the White House. He and his son went on a massive collecting expedition in East Africa for about a year. And they collected thousands of animals.
Paul Reimer understands that, quote, collecting and stuffing animals makes some of us squeamish. But he says taxidermists are nature lovers, who were even seen as quasi-scientists in the Victorian era.
Darwin had to learn taxidermy before he could go, you know, on the beagle. And naturalists back in the day had to be able to do taxidermy because that's maybe how they preserved their specimens. Most naturalists now wouldn't even think about that sort of thing.
Taxidermy falls in the shadowy rift between art and science. It used to be how people learned about animals. Museums were once crammed with dusty dioramas of glassy-eyed beasts in rainforests and savannas. At this museum, the displays are spare, sculptural. Kids run up to an animal, get a few facts, and move on.
Well, look at this, Pat. A giraffe. And a zebra.
Over 7 million visitors marveled at the Hall of Mammals last year. Paul Reimer says even in a time of Meerkat Manor and the National Geographic Channel, there's something primal about seeing stuffed dead animals, something more meaningful than watching live ones on screens.
I think there's something about the real. TV and movies cannot substitute. The internet cannot substitute. And I think that taxidermy gives you that. It's there. It's this tangible thing in front of you.
Reimer's father and grandfather were Smithsonian taxidermists. And they showed him tricks. He says in museums are a dying art. His tiny backroom workspace is filled with gorilla death masks, fake beaks and eyeballs, and grim little tools, like a wire wheel Reimer's using on a pintail duck.
If I'm really careful, I can remove that fat from the skin. Do you see how the fat's coming off of this?
Reimer then rinses the skin and twists it over the sink like an old washcloth.
People are always amazed that you can do this to a bird skin.
Reimer has stuffed everything from giant squids to baby shrews. He knows how to work with outdated packing material like Excelsior and how to carve commercial deer mounts into shapes for wild antelopes and oryxes.
And my dad, you know, taught me this stuff when I was a kid, and you know, he learned all these old ways and passed on some to me, and I've met a lot of people who have taught me more of these old ways too, which is great.
But museums don't need those skills anymore, not in the way they used to. There's not enough work for a full-time taxidermist at the Smithsonian. When I spoke to Reimer, it was his last full week of employment before he retired. The Smithsonian does not plan to replace him. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.